We hope for better things. It will arise from the ashes. Motto of the City of Detroit, 1805. Some houses are known as firefighter killers. Dilapidated interior staircases and doorframes, weakened from years of neglect or vacancy, combine with the brick exterior, distinctive of homes from Detroit's Gilded Age, to create unpredictable oven-like conditions. A firefighter from my old neighborhood once told me about his narrow escape from one of these killers. The campfire flames we were huddled around flickered across his face, reaching up to light the fresh cigarette dangling beneath his mustache. "I was new to the job," he began. "One of my first runs, fires. A single-family home. I was charging down the hallway, pitch black, thick smoke everywhere, completely surrounded by fire. Suddenly, someone grabbed me from behind, yelling, 'Get out!' Before I knew it, I was midair flying out the front of the house. I found myself lying on the muddy, tangled grass, puking up smoke. Now here's a story I haven't heard before, I thought to myself. If you've hung around firefighters much, you can recite from memory whole repertoires of their stories, replete with long pauses and emphatic hand gestures. Then I saw three more firefighters flying out the front door, he continued, the wrinkles around his eyes betraying a fondness firefighters often felt toward my dad. And behind them, Sergeant Martin, your dad. The fire still raging behind him tossed us out one by one before the fire took us all. That's the day I learned what firefighting is all about. The real work of a firefighter is not just putting out fires. It is to serve and protect people from harm, including, sometimes, protecting their protectors. That fire was one of 300 in the city of Detroit that night, one of 800 that weekend, one of 22,000 that year, 1984, the year when Detroit earned distinction as the arson capital of the world. Some of the fires were indeed arsons, people burning for kicks or for insurance money or to clear abandoned property. But not all. Cold winters and poverty combined with ill-maintained electric heaters to create accidental fires. Though accidental is a misleading word. In fact, the fires were the natural, unfortunate result of economically destitute Detroiters trying to live as best they could behind boarded-up windows with no electricity, heat, or water, and only a fire pit to keep them warm. To this day, the old-timers say my dad, Roger Martin, was one of the best firefighters the city of Detroit ever knew. A legend. A leader. For his fellow firefighters, he provided everything people expect from their leaders. Show them where to go, into the fire or out, up to the roof or down to the basement. Give them a clear job to do. Keep them safe. And know your stuff. Only later did I learn that these things have little to do with leadership. I also knew very little back then of my father's reputation as a fist fighter, not just a firefighter, and as a drinker. My days were like those of every other kid growing up in the city. Wake up, walk to school, and stay out of trouble. On mornings when Dad arrived home from the firehouse, the city's decay wafted into my bedroom in the form of the sweet scent of fire truck diesel and smoke from the previous night's fires. It drew me half asleep and blurry-eyed toward the thoroughly spent but satisfied man seated at the kitchen table, coffee in hand, along with the day's newspaper and his trusted crossword puzzle book. I'd shuffle slowly toward his silhouette for my morning hug, backlit by the fiery sun rising through our kitchen window. "I love you," I'd say, to which he always responded playfully, "Not as much as I love you." Other than the smoke and diesel, it's the stories I remember the most. Stories like the one I heard around that campfire. Stories that he and others told about raging routine fires and predictable near-death experiences. Stories about fellow firefighters, black, brown, and white, storming the blazing homes of Detroit's east side where I grew up. Setting aside Detroit's fiery racism, if only momentarily, they got the work done and stayed alive while doing it.